This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation announced another positive coronavirus case yesterday. The person resides in one of the villages that the healthcare provider serves, but was tested in Anchorage. That person was not in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta for the past 2 weeks, which is the time frame where they would have been exposed or infectious. The person is currently self-isolating in Anchorage. This marks the 28th positive case related to the region and the second announced this week. YKHC has announced more cases in July than all the preceding months since the pandemic hit the United States in March. YKHC is offering free coronavirus testing to incoming passengers at airports in Bethel, Aniak, and St. Mary's, and encourages all travelers to be tested. YKHC also offers free drive-through testing at the Bethel Hospital every Wednesday from noon to 4 p.m. The healthcare corporation urges YK Delta residents to only travel for essential reasons, wash their hands, keep 6 feet away from others, and wear a mask when in public. And there is no community spread of the coronavirus in Bethel yet, and the City Council wants to keep it that way. To do that, KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports, the city is offering free lodging, food, and transportation to passengers who travel from Anchorage and lay over in Bethel.
The plan is to keep travelers coming from Anchorage, where cases are high, away from Bethel residents, using federal virus response funding. Here's Bethel City Manager Vinny Carraza.
Most of the cases have been travel-related, so we definitely want to try to create that some sort of a barrier between the two populations.
Travelers coming from Anchorage who have a layover in Bethel are asked to call the city when they know their travel plans. The city will then find hotel accommodations in Bethel for the length of the layover while also providing meals and transportation to and from the airport.
Please don't at the airport call us. In advance would be very helpful.
However, if weather delays a flight or other last-minute changes occur, Carraza says the city will scramble to help travelers out.
We definitely want to discourage you from leaving the airport and finding your own means, because that would mean that you're commingling with the population.
In exchange for free accommodations from the city, travelers will have to fill out some paperwork, get tested for coronavirus at the Bethel Airport, wear a mask in public, and not leave the hotel room or have any visitors during the length of the layover. The program is funded by the city's share of the Federal CARES Act. The Bethel City Council approved $350,000 for the program. Since it started last week, 8 travelers have participated. The program is not meant for Bethel residents, and participants are required to have a departing flight scheduled. For teachers who use the program, the city is covering the hotel fee, but school districts are responsible for covering transportation and food costs. Many teachers are being required to quarantine in Bethel for 2 weeks before flying on to their village schools. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And the Food Bank of Alaska says the coronavirus pandemic has had a, quote, dramatic impact on the need for food assistance in the state. The number of people picking up food rapidly increased in the spring. And as Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon reports, while numbers have leveled off since the initial surge, demand is still higher than normal and could increase.
Byron Corral is wearing a face mask and loading boxes of food into a car in a giant parking lot in East Anchorage.
So one of the boxes is milk, like 2 gallons of milk. Another box is just an assortment of just dry goods. And another box is fresh produce.
Corral is one of about 10 volunteers at the Food Bank of Alaska's drive-through emergency distribution site. He and the others quickly stack boxes into cars and trucks, working through a line of vehicles that snakes through the lot. It seems busy now, he says, but you should have seen it this spring.
The first week when we started this location, the whole entire parking lot was full, and they said that we had at least 500 to 600 families that were served. And usually we average usually like 100. Yeah, the need was big in the whole entire city of Anchorage.
Mike Reusser, the director of operations at the food bank, says the initial spike in need was incredible in late March and April. He says there was a steep rise in the number of people brand new to seeking food assistance as the coronavirus shut down businesses and unemployment skyrocketed. Since then, Reusser says, the numbers have declined and plateaued, but they are still above normal. The food bank estimates that the need is up about 75% statewide compared to last year.
I think that what that tells us is that the number of new people experiencing food insecurity is declining, but the number of people who have steadily experienced food insecurity is remaining flat, that their need isn't changing.
Roycer says he expects that increased need to last.
Given what we've experienced to this point and what we're experiencing now, we would expect the need to be sustained, especially into the school year and through the winter.
And the food bank says there's also anxiety about whether a second surge in demand is coming, with federal unemployment benefits set to expire soon. In Anchorage, I'm Tegan Hanlon.
And in mining news, the Bureau of Land Management has approved the proposed route for the controversial Ambler Road project. For Alaska's Energy Desk, Wesley Early has more.
In its record of decision released Thursday, BLM approved a route for the private access road that would span 211 miles from the Dalton Highway and cross gates of the Arctic National Park to get to the Ambler Mining District in northwest Alaska. BLM officials wrote the selected route is the shortest of the routes proposed, impacting roughly 4,500 acres of land. The road has been touted by Ambler Metals LLC, a subsidiary of British Columbia-based company Trilogy Metals. The company hopes to use the road to access deposits of copper and other metals in the mining district, then to truck ore out. The road has received state support from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, the agency in charge of making investments and providing loans to various business interests across the state. In a statement, ADA Board Chairman Dana Prue said the decision from BLM, quote, represents tremendous potential for economic growth, diversification, and job opportunities for Alaskans, along with revenue expected to the state and local governments for decades, end quote. Environmentalists are strongly opposed to the road, particularly over routing it through a national park. In response to BLM's decision, Erica Watson with the Northern Alaska Environmental Center wrote, quote, the impacts to the region's water, food, and cultural sovereignty are unacceptable. Alaska's wealth is in our lands, waters, and people, and we will not allow the state to trade that wealth for multinational companies' profit, end quote. Subsistence hunters in the area are also concerned over possible effects on the migration of caribou, a staple in the local subsistence diet. BLM completed its environmental assessment of the road in March, acknowledging potential impacts to air and water quality, wildlife migration, and erosion. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Wesley Early in Kotzebue.
And finally, in more mining news, the proposed Pebble Mine upstream from Bristol Bay clears a major regulatory hurdle today with the publication of the final environmental impact statement. Pebble Chief Executive Tom Collier says it's the most significant day for the project in 15 years.
And the umpire in this case is the Corps of Engineers. And the Corps of Engineers has looked at this rigorously and has determined that the project will not damage the fishery.
A coalition of fishermen, native organizations, and environmental groups that oppose Pebble say the mine puts the fishery at risk. They point to findings in the report that say the mine will impact some 200 miles of streams and 4,000 acres of wetlands. Native corporations that own land along the mine's transportation corridor say they'll never grant Pebble permission to use their property. Collier says opponents will change their minds as the proposal becomes more real and the economic benefits more certain.
I have a couple of confidentiality agreements that preclude me from making any specific comments about the status of any negotiations. In fact, even preclude me from saying that I am negotiating with someone. But, you know, where I stand today, I remain confident that we will be able to get the access we need to build that road.
The Corps could issue its final decision on permitting next month. If the permit is granted, Collier will get a salary bonus of $12.5 million. Collier says two-thirds of that bonus is contingent on the decision holding up in court. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yuktan coming up.